And the next song that follows is 261. In about 3 minutes, the broadcast will be open, and we will be on the air. So as the people turn on, as they drive by and in different places, they hear you singing. So please sing with joy as we communicate the blessings of God to thousands of people today over the broadcast. Number 34 to start with.
Sure.
look to the Lord in prayer together this morning. Heavenly Father, we come this morning in thy presence, in the name of Jesus, our high priest. And we pray that as we worship thee in his spirit and in truth, our heart be touched by the praise, our mind be willing to accept thy word, and then, Father, our life will reflect the power and the impact of thy presence in our life. We thank you, Lord, for the worship. We thank you, Lord, that we have a day in which we can stop and we can say, praise the Lord who has saved us, who has redeemed us, who have paid for our sin. Not only that, who have made us known that we were sinners, but also that there is a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray also that as we look upon the meditation of thy word this morning, our life be encouraged. We are aware that we live in a world of troubles and difficulties. And as the days go by, I'm amazed, Lord, how far away this country is going from the truth of God. But Father, we have hope because in Christ Jesus there is hope. And we, the believers, need to be encouraged that in spite of the difficulties, in spite of ourselves, there is a God who is willing to rescue. Thank you, Father, for that. We also remember our missionaries, our brother Fred and Carol Lewis, as they are in America for a six-month break from their mission in Ukraine. We pray that as we want to see them soon on October the 10th, they're coming to visit with us. Father, we pray that you bless this couple who have dedicated their life to bring the gospel to the Ukrainian people, especially to teach the teachers in Ukrainian, and to bring one school after the others so the pastors can be raised in that country. Father, we pray for Carl and Ruth Knott, who are in northern Spain. Also, here is another missionary who is teaching elders and making churches, a wonderful couple with their family serving the Lord. Father Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Malaga. We remember last year with my wife when we visited with them and I preached in their little church. Father, how wonderful it was to see that we sent a man into Spain and now blossom into a local church. Thank you, Father, for the vision, the encouragement. We pray for Maritza that her pancreas problem may be healed by the power of the divine God. Father, locally we have the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, and we pray that this place, who is a refuge for those in need, we pray that as people come in, the center will have the supplies to take care of them and to share the gospel with them. And in Northern California, we have Ruben and Irene Zagert. And they are missionaries to the Spanish people in the city of Lodi. And Father, in just a short term of 2 years, the church have grown to 80 people, and we are thankful for the progress. We are thankful for the jealousy of these couple in bringing the gospel to that area, in the farming area of California. And now, Father, for ourselves, we have come here with personal needs. We have come here after a week in which a lot of things happened to us. And we pray that through the meditation of thy word, you perhaps, O God, will answer some of those needs of our heart. Not only for those people who are here in the auditorium, but we remember the Rotolo family, the Flinstein family, we remember the Ken family, people who write to us from the radio audience, and we pray that you touch them in a very special way. And if somebody is driving and passing by and turning to the station and listening, we hope that the hope of God's word will give them encouraging thoughts, and above all, they will see Jesus. Bless us, O God, in America. And in spite of these difficulties in our government and difficulties in people who try to be away from God, oh, God bless us. We still have people who believe in you. Bless the pastors in America, across America, that they may preach the word of God with love and firmness so that people may come back to you. Lord, this has been a beautiful country. My grandparents came to the knowledge of God because of American missionaries in the 1900s. And so, Father, I love this country with all my heart because have shared the gospel to us. And so, Father, we pray that you will produce a revival in the hearts of pastors, a jealousy to preach Christ without fear. And now, Father, as we take this offering, we pray that you will bless the offering and bless the giver. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Still be there.
He's not with ever.
Thank you, choir. We ask you now to take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, and verses 22 through 36. If you didn't bring a Bible, there is a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 715. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 36. And immediately Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And they went, and when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you again that we can assemble in your presence and worship you without fear, and that we can come boldly to you with our thanks and petitions because of the faithfulness and obedience of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We acknowledge that we are sinners, and except for your mercy, as Jesus paid for those sins himself, we would be cast away into outer darkness. We thank you that you have created in us a new heart that desires to please you and obey you. As we consider this scripture today, we affirm once again that you have created all things through Christ, and that heaven and the entire cosmos is subject to his authority, and that by your passive or active will, you have ordained everything that comes to pass. And there is nothing in the universe that is not under your control. We claim no confidence in ourselves, but rest in the knowledge that all things, though not apparent to us, work together for good for those who love you and believe you and trust you, whom you have called according to your purpose. We pray for our pastor and your servant, Gabriel Otero, and thank you that his health is improving, and thank you that you've granted him a time of refreshing to come as he and Mrs. Otero proceed to their vacation. We pray that as our pastor delivers the wisdom of your word, preaches the whole counsel of God here and on the radio, that by the Holy Spirit you would give us understanding. And if there be some who have not entrusted their lives to you, that through the preaching of the gospel today, you would bring them out of darkness, that they would believe on your Son, so that they would not come into condemnation, but would pass from death to life. We pray and thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated.
If you have your Bible ready, it will be proper that you keep an eye on the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 14. and the verses that just our brother have read before us. Let's pray before we meditate upon God's word. Father, bless your word and bless the ministry of your word, so that the Holy Spirit may speak to us even now. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to switch phones, microphones, for your sakes. There is a window in your heart through which you can see God. Once upon a time, that window was absolutely clear. Your view of God was crisp. You could see God as vividly as you could see a gentle valley on a hillside. You knew God. You knew how he worked. You knew what he wants you to do. There was a time in your life that were no surprises whatsoever. Nothing unexpected. You knew that God had a will. And also you knew that you continually discover what it was. And you were very, very, very happy. Then suddenly, the window cracked. A pebble broke the window. A pebble of pain. Perhaps the stone struck when you were a child and a parent left home forever. Maybe the rock hit the adolescent when your heart was broken. Maybe you made it into an adulthood before the window was cracked. But then a pebble came and cracked that window. Was it a phone call? We have your daughter at the station. You better come down here. There are parents who hear these words, you know. Was it a letter on a kitchen table, as one listener of our radio called me and told me? The letter said, I have left. Don't try to reach me. Don't try to call me. It is over. I just don't love you anymore. That's a big rock. Was it a diagnosis from the doctor, as I got it 3 weeks ago? I'm afraid our news is not very good. Dr. McCormick put it in the phone. Was it a telegram? One of my friends that was with me in the Vietnam War, one of his parents received this letter. We regret to inform you that your son is missing in action. Wherever the pebbles formed, the result was the same, a shattering window. The pebble missile into the pain and shatter the window of your life. The crash echoed down the holes of your heart. And you know something? Suddenly, God was not so easy to see. The view that had been so crisp, so clear, changed. You turned to see God, and his figure was distorted. It was hard to see him through the pain. It was hard to see him through the fragments of the heart. You were passive. God wouldn't allow something like this to happen, would he? Tragedy and travesty weren't on the agenda of the one that you have seen. Have you been fooled about God? I trust God so much, and look at what happened in my life. Have you been blind? Many people maybe told you, you are blind. Don't trust this God. There is no God. The moment the people struck, the glass became a reference point to you, and you will remember that moment for your lifetime. From then on, there was life before the pain and life after the pain. That's what people tell me. There was a moment in my life, Pastor, that something happened and life was never the same. Before your pain, the view of God was clear. God seemed so near, so close to you. After your pain, well, he was harder to see. He seems a bit distant, harder to perceive. Your pain distorts the view. No an eclipse who blocked the view, but a distortion of the view of God. We look for God, but can't find him. Fragmented glasses hinder our vision. He is enlarged through this piece and reduced through that one. Well, you know, the scriptures that we read this morning just describe what I told you. The disciples weren't sure what they saw either. Remember in Matthew's gospel, in chapter 14 and verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." Now, ladies and gentlemen, a few hours before, they saw Jesus feeding 5,000 people. Few hours before, they saw Jesus healing the impossible people. And now, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and they can't believe it. They do not have a clear vision of Jesus. Notice carefully the sequence of the stormy evening as Matthew records this. Now remember, from Matthew chapter 14, in verse 22 to verse 30, they are not in the valley anymore. They are not with Jesus talking. They are on the sea. They are with a typhoon on the back of the boats. And even though these were skilled fishermen, they knew how to handle the waves. These guys, they were not dummies. They were skilled fishermen. Peter Simon has a fishing company. He knew how to go into the sea. But now the typhoon is so brave, and they're in the middle of the sea. I'm talking about people who are under the stress of life as never before. Look at what happened. Verse 22. I read from my own translation, you follow me. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Now, that's the situation that we are here this morning. We are seeing the disciples in the middle of a storm. That's why verse 26, when they saw Jesus walking on the water, They look around. They were praying. And they were looking for Jesus. But when they saw him, they cannot recognize. Their life had been shattered by the people of circumstances. And a stone came in and broke the heart of these three, four men who were right there on the boat, those skilled fishermen. They were brokenhearted. And when you are brokenhearted, I understand. Sometimes you cannot see Jesus. When somebody comes to my office with a terrible situation in their home, I understand when they said, and where is God, Pastor? And what is God going to do about it? Pastor, I have prayed for hours and hours and hours. What I do next? I do understand. Here are people who live with Jesus. This incident is almost at the end of Jesus' life. So Jesus is already 33 years old, and these guys have been with Jesus at least for 3 years. And here they are, eye-to-eye contact, half-hour distance. Jesus is not there. They are in a storm, and they panic. I do understand. Let me go over the order of the events. So perhaps that recalls in your mind something that happened to you. Because I don't want to leave you with the pain. I want to give you the medicine today that will help you to go through the pain. But I need to go through the pain so that we find the medicine. Everybody knows how these pastors love coffee and took the pain of a heart attack almost to stop me on the tracks. So I know what pain is. Matthew is specific about the order of events. Jesus sent the disciples to the boat, according to verse 22. Immediately, Jesus, the word made is a translation option for the word strongly urged. In your Bible, is the word made, but the original is in a form that can be translated. It strongly urged his disciples get into the boat and go before him. So the disciples were in God's will, is that right? They were in God's will. Jesus told them what to do, and they did it. They were in God's will. Then he dismissed the crowd. See verse 22. While he sent the multitude away. And then he went and went up into a mountain side. And verse 23 said that when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. It was evening, probably around 6 p.m. The storm struck immediately. The sun had scarcely set before a typhoon-like wind began to roar, and that lake called the Sea of Galilee, which is a lake. If you know Clear Lake, you know the Sea of Galilee. That is exactly the Sea of Galilee, Clear Lake. And if you are in the evening in Clear Lake, sometimes the waves don't let you even do water skiing, like some of you people like it. Note that Jesus sent the disciples out into the storm alone. You know that? Jesus is God. He knew there wasn't a storm coming up. He doesn't need to turn Channel 11 here in California to find the weather report to see what's coming. You know, I believe Jesus God. The Bible said Jesus God, Hebrews 1:8. God said to his son, oh God. The Bible really explained it. I don't have to prove anything. I just read it and believe it. And so Jesus God, he knows what's ahead. He knows it's in a storm like never those fishermen saw before. He knew it was in a storm that they themselves, even though they were skilled, they cannot handle. He knew that, and he sent them away. Even as he was ascending the mountainside, he could feel and hear the wind. Jesus was not ignorant of the storm. And Jesus is not ignorant of the storms in your life. He was aware that a torrent was coming that will carpet bomb the sea surface so that these guys will be scared to death. But you know something? I was surprised. I read those verses back and forth. So perhaps there is a mistake. I got my Greek Bible and went over every word to see one thing. Now, Jesus knows it's in a storm. Jesus knows this. His disciples, his men, the heart of the church, the fathers of our church, they're there. And they were his guys. Will he turn around and see how they're doing? He didn't. Jesus was not ignorant of the storm. He was aware that the torrent was coming, but he didn't turn around. The disciples were left to face the storm alone. That maybe help you sometimes in your life to understand some of the storms that comes in the way. And you're alone. Now, I believe the greatest storm that night was not in the sky, nor even in the waves, because those guys, they really, Peter was really rough. If you read John 21, he has a big company, big ship company, and man, he really knew what to do. Have you ever taken a tug boat here in San Francisco Bay and went just 50 miles on the ocean side? The boat looks nice right there on the pier. But you get 50 miles on the ocean here. And I was looking to the fellow. They were fishing. I was not fishing. I was grabbing the boat. Because really it was moving like that. And up and down. And the guy was like, nothing happened. I said to him, are we doing okay? Oh, that's a calm day, he said. You know? I tell you. So knowing that, a man who is a professional, let's put it in this way, on the sea, is not afraid of a storm. I believe that the greatest storm that night was not on the sky. It was in the disciples' heart. And where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? The greatest fear was not from being in the storm and in the waves. They had been there before. It came from seeing the back of their leader as he led them to face that night with only questions as companions. It was this fury that the disciples were facing that night. The Lord is going there. He's back to us and we are alone. Imagine the incredible stain of bouncing from wave to wave in a tiny fishing vessel. 1 hour will wear you out. 2 hours will exhaust you. They seem him quite the winds. Remember, prior to these, 2 chapters before, Jesus goes and on the sea and said, peace be still. And the whole storm quiet down. And they are thinking, where is the master? Just say a word, master, and we will be just from the mountain. Don't come down here. Just say, peace be still, and they will be done. 3 hours. 4 hours. The wind rages. The boat bounces back and forth. That's where the boat is, in the middle of the ocean. Still no Jesus. Midnight comes. Their eyes search for God in vain. Look at verse 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Wow. By now, the disciples have been on the sea for as long as 6 hours. Look at verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night. That's 6 hours into the night. They have been 6 hours. all this time, they have fought the storm and sought the master. And so far, the storm is winning. Have you seen that in your life? That you go through one difficulty, through another, and rather than you getting closer to God, the storm is winning. And the master is nowhere to be found. Where is he? That's the question people ask me. When a daughter leaves home for school and then come home pregnant, people said, God, Pastor, we believe in God, and where is he that doesn't protect my daughter? The Gospel of Mark adds compelling insight into the disciples' attitude. If you just put one hand in Matthew's and you move to Mark 6 and in verse 52, there is an additional commentary that perhaps will give you an idea why I believe the disciples' problem was not the wind, was not the waves, was the heart. In Mark Gospel chapter 6 verse 52 said, they have not understood about the loaves, their heart were hardened. What the Mark is talking about? Mark is talking about this. Remember when Jesus had all the multitude follow him, and he said to the disciples, as a matter of fact, the disciples came to him. Go back to Matthew chapter 14, and now you will understand Mark chapter 6. In Gospel of Matthew 14, verse 15, the Bible said, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a great solitary place, and the hour is already late, say with store close, send the multitudes away. Now, that was the disciples' statement. Now, at this moment, the disciples were big shot. Prior to this verse, they have reported to Jesus that they have done miracles and wonders, and they told Jesus, whatever you told us, that came to pass. I healed a leper, I did this, I did the other. Now they were the big boys. So they see the multitude, and without consultation with Jesus, they were men. We are men. And without consultation with Jesus, he said, now here's a lot of people, send them away. They are giving instruction to Jesus. You got it? Sometimes we do that, don't we? We're trying to give instruction to Jesus. Sometimes we do it in prayer. Unconsciously, I think so, because not one of us will try to give instruction to Jesus. But unconsciously, we do. And you look carefully in the verse, and they said, send the multitude away, that they may go into the village and buy themselves food. And Jesus didn't. Verse 16 said that they do not need to go away. You gave them something, said Jesus. And boy, they get mad. Wait a minute. We just told you, Jesus, what to do. What are you talking about? We should give food. And so they were upset. They were really upset in their heart. What does Mark mean is simply this. The disciples were mad. And mad as they were, they went into the boat. Not only Jesus does this miracle, he said to them, you guys, get into the boat and go to the other side. I'll meet you over there. Jesus showing his authority, showing his sovereignty, his power. And boy, there were sometimes when God said to us, no, it's not that way. It's in this way we get mad. We don't show it outside. But inside the heart, we want a different way. They began the evening and a half. Their heart were hardened toward Jesus because he fed the multitude. Jesus did something they don't want Jesus to do. Unbelievable things that could happen to us. Their preference, remember, had been to send the crowds away, and Jesus had told them to feed the people, but they wouldn't try. They said it could be done. Remember? In verse 17 in Matthew 14, they said to him, we have here only five loaves and two fish. So can not be done. Well, how many times we have said to God, cannot be done? To God. You know, the book of Hebrews said God spoke and creation was made. You know, in John's gospel, Jesus see a tomb and he said, not because of me or because of God, but because of these unbelievers around me, just move the stone. And then he speaks, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible said that one who was dead came forth. John Gospel 11. I'm talking that kind of Jesus. My Jesus is that kind of person. It's God. And the disciples would have, Jesus said, do this, and said, oh, cannot be done. It's like, put this in today's trouble. The Bible says, husband, you should love your wife as Christ loved the church sacrificially and gave himself for it. And a husband will tell me in my office, pastor, cannot be done. Are you telling me that what Jesus said cannot be done? Come on, in the power of Jesus can be done. Please. Ay, ay, ay. We say in Spanish, mamma mia, what's wrong with you? See, Jesus have told them to feed the people, but they wouldn't try. They wouldn't try to feed the people. They said it couldn't be done. They told Jesus to let the people take care of themselves. That's it. That's the way we want it. Well, it is 1 a.m. in the morning and no Jesus. It is 2 a.m. in the morning and no Jesus. Peter, Andrew, James, and John have seen a storm like this before. They are fishermen. The sea is their life. They know better than anyone that this night could be their last night. So rough. And they ask the question, why doesn't he come? Finally, he does. Look at verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. The fourth watch of the night in the Hebrew watch is a quarter between 3 to 6 a.m. That's called the fourth watch of the night, between 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. And Jesus went out to them walking on the lake, on the sea. And Jesus came. He finally came. But between verse 24, being battered by the waves, and verse 25, when Jesus appeared, thousands of questions are asked. Between verse 24, Jesus not there, and verse 25, that Jesus is there, a wall of things happen in the mind of these people. And in your mind too, before you saw the Lord answering your drama. Question you have probably asked too. Perhaps you know the anguish of being suspended between verse 24 and 25. Perhaps you know the agony of not seeing God's way. And then here it is. I see it now. Maybe you are riding on the storm right now, searching the coastline for a light, a glimmer of hope in your life. You know that Jesus knows what you are going through. You know that. You know that he's aware of your storm also. But as hard as you look to find him, you can't see him, and you are in a drama. Maybe your heart, like the disciples' heart, has been hardened by unmet expectations. Now, Pastor, what's the answer? What's the message of this portion of the scripture? What this scripture is saying to us? Here it is, verse 27 to 29. I read it slowly. You will discover, but I will make a statement that will help you to understand that if you are in a storm of life at this moment, here's the answer. Verse 27. Now, Jesus on the boat, verse 25, and verse 27 said, immediately Jesus spoke, verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. You know, the storm of life can be so rough that even the visions of Christ as you read it in the Bible doesn't make sense to you. You read the scripture, it is a gleaming thing. It's a window shattered by the pain. I understand that. Look at verse 27. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. Come on, guys. Can you imagine? It is I. Don't you like those words? Do not be afraid. Sometimes when I'm traveling and I cry, I look to that verse. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, you know, Peter, more courageous man, he said, Lord, it really are you. Command me to come to you on the water. Now, that's impossible. Try yourself. Just go to the bay and try to walk on it. Let me know from the bottom how the things are. So this is what this man is asking. See, he's asking an impossibility. Is not what prayer is all about? We're asking God impossible things. But it's good. Jesus did not rebuke him for doing that. Look at verse 29. He said, come. You lost your job, you need a new job. It's not wrong to pray. Come. And what I like it is, and when Peter had come down out of the boat, now Peter knew Jesus. Everybody writes bad about Peter's life, but I like Peter. He's human. He's you and me. So I bet you said, did you hear it? What did he say? Mashallah. Ashallah, all right. And then all the disciples said, what are you doing? Ashallah. He goes. And he's walking. Is that right? Look at verse 29. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. I don't want to talk about the negative. I'm going to end right here. What's the message? In the middle of a storm, exhausted. When there is no more resources, when there is no more power, when there is no more to do, when we are at the very end, it is I, he said, it is I, it's me, Jesus. And he asked us to do an impossibility. What is the impossibility? No, walking on the water, trusting him. Do you see it? Peter cannot see Jesus. Peter said, it is a ghost, it is a ghost. But the boys came and said, it's not a ghost, it's me. Come on, guys, hey, all right, come on. And Peter said, I'm not sure if this is, Peter is not sure. I'm not sure if this is Jesus or not. But in case of Jesus, I know that he does the impossible. So Jesus, if really are you, tell me to go. He's not going to go in his own, for he is smart. He's not going to go in his own will. He's going to go in his will. He said, you tell me to go, and I will go. And Jesus said, come. And he goes, and he is successful. What's the message? Is this. When you can't see him, just trust him. That's my sermon this morning. When you cannot see Jesus, just trust him. Trust him. Trust him. The figure you see of Jesus in the Bible is not a ghost. The voice you hear of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart is not a wind. It's Jesus. Jesus is closer than you have ever dreamed. If you cannot see him because of people, because of circumstances, because of the drama of life, just trust him. And trust him for the impossible. Because he specializes in the impossible. Do you hear me? You many people of God have some troubles and difficulties. And you are not alone. We all go through that. Please, I don't know if it's a sickness. I don't know if it's maybe your children. Maybe your future career. I know we have to make decisions in life. When the sickness came to me on the heart, heart was melted because I had three granddaughters. And I said to myself, how can I ruin my heart by that stupid coffee which I like so much? How can I do that? And I had three granddaughters. And then on the top of that, the middle one, who is the most, it's like Peter, the most active, she called me and said, take care of yourself because I want you to see me being married. Wow. But I saw Jesus. And I got power from, I don't need any treatment or any drugs or anything. I just said, I stopped coffee. Because I have a goal. I had to see my granddaughters being married. And I went to sleep for 14, 15, 16 hours a day. My wife can't believe it, thought that I had to call the doctor now for another sickness. But when I went in just 1 week, what a good news when Dr. Prasad said, we made it. The muscle is back in place by itself. Now be careful. I give you 19 days to check you again. I saw him. Just go to him and ask him, Lord, I have all of these doubts. Tell him. There's nothing wrong with it. Just tell him, Lord, I have all of these and I have these problems. Tell me what to do. Father, thank you this morning that you have a message for us. When we cannot see you, we better trust you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you. This is good. Help all of us to do as Peter did. Just trust you without looking to the left, to the right, behind, or whatever. Just trust you because you are God. Thank you, Lord, that you understand. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave us alone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is holy. Be still, O restless soul of mine, bow before the Prince of Peace. Let the noise and clamor cease. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is faithful. Consider all that He has done. Stand in awe and be amazed. And know that He will never change. Be still. Be still and know that He is God. 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 Be still and know He is our Father. Come rest your head upon His breast. Listen to the rhythm of His unfailing heart of love.
you stand, please? Thank you, Mrs. Noriel, for your direction in the song. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Father, bless us with that quality of being still and that knowledge of knowing that you are God. Revive in our heart and our mind the quality of life of trusting Jesus, knowing that every step of our life is going to be difficult, sometimes impossible, but not with Jesus. Thank you for Jesus, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.